Well, good afternoon and welcome again. Thank you for praying with me. What a beautiful thing for us to do together, right? It really is. I feel the power of our united prayer. Lord, we promise when two or more are gathered, right, in his name, he would be present amongst us. I can't tell you how many are uniting with us now around this country and ultimately around the world. So let's petition God. Let's ask our Heavenly Father for his mercy today and for those miracles. I want to kick it off today by continuing to pray for Father Richard Simon. I got a call from him, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday of this weekend, and he was in a lot of pain. I mean, he was really, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here regarding his condition, because he really values the prayers. He says, Drew, please keep the prayer coming. Please ask everyone to pray. So could you pray for this beautiful priest who has been battling? Maggie, how long was it that he said? We asked Nick Sentovich, his producer. It's been a month and 4 days or 10 days. It's been 4 weeks and a long time, basically. So he's really been struggling. So, Father, we care about you. We love you. We are praying for you. We're going to ask God to turn your health condition around. Today, things are going to start to improve, and you're going to be on the road to complete recovery. So, you know, put them on your prayer list at home. Put them on the church prayer list. Have a mass offered for Father Simon. You ever hear me being ill or out? Do the same thing for me. I would love it. I mean, masses are powerful. Pray the chaplet for him. All right, we'll do that right now. Receive this email. This comes from Tucson, Arizona. I'll need to leave the name anonymous. They said, hey, during the chaplet, a mother called in for prayer for her son. He was being bullied as an adopted child. I'm praying, and I'm so broken up, crying for her and for her son. And I remember that phone call. It was tough to hear. And I love the fact that we're praying for one another. She says, I'm grateful for my family, my parents, and my birth parents who offered me a life that they could not provide. I'm also adopted. This is the ultimate expression of love and sacrifice. And Drew, I could go on. God is so good. Please know that you and all who pray with you remain in my prayers. Please, I'm praying to find a man of faith. I'm praying for someone to enter my life. And I am now 54 years old, and there are lonely times. And I associated this abandonment, ignoring the love and the feeling of self-pity. I now understand that I am called to pray, and I am praying for this and for so many other intentions. Would you ask everybody to pray for me? So, yeah, certainly will. She's praying for us, and we'll certainly lift up and pray for her situation as well. Maggie, I know you got a lot of intentions that are coming in today as well, so let me throw to you, and then maybe we'll take a few extra calls today here on the chaplet.
I do. I was looking back at an email that you forwarded over the weekend that someone had sent us in the show email. And I just posted this on our social accounts. It's a picture of a little guy named Michael. He's 5 years old, and there's tubes and wires coming out every which way. He's laying in the hospital bed. It says, this is a little five-year-old named Michael. He lives in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's a friend's son. He had a heart attack 2 months ago and was without oxygen for a while, and he's been in the hospital in a semi-conscious state for 2 months. Let's ask for a miracle for this little guy.
Oh, how beautiful. Yeah. We have a person who, I guess, tweets at you a lot. She uses a different name than her real name, she told me. Sent this beautiful petition in, and I don't know what her on-air or what her handle is. I don't want to give her real name because I have her email here. Let me just share what she says. She says, hey, good morning. I wanted to give you a spectacular praise report. You're going to love this so much. Says, George and I have been praying for a person's conversion for quite a while. Lately, he's been coming to Mass with us, and over the Triduum, he came Holy Thursday. He was in tears. He claimed to have almost an out-of-body experience while in Mass, seeing himself kneeling and praying. We couldn't wait for Good Friday. He's been in tears over this, and I told him that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. He has had a very troubled and very bad past, and it was weighing heavily on him. Yesterday on Divine Mercy Sunday, he went to confession, and he says he feels reborn. Oh, he's crying over it as well. He's so happy. I've been putting this request on your show for prayers for conversion, and the Holy Spirit has moved. Through God, Drew, all things are impossible. Thank you for your show and for all the prayer warriors. We keep praying. job is not done yet, but praise God. Yeah, look, this is the one prayer that you and I all, you know, always mention that say that the Lord says is answered. You know, the prayer of conversion, God hears. And I believe it is always, I believe it's always answered. Whether you see it or not, God will give that soul sufficient grace to return to him. So anyway, I guess we should pray and thank you very much. I think Tracy's the name that is used online. I'll go with that. But appreciate those emails that are coming. And we're going to pray for so many others that have come in and have not been voiced. And we'll pray for you if you're on hold right now. So join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable, divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, Teresa's praying with us in Covina, California. Hi, Teresa.
Oh, blessings to both of you. I'm holding out a big cup. First of all, I have three sons, all in construction and all top in their field. The middle one has a situation with his hand, and he needs his hand to work, and they don't know what's wrong with it. And so it's his birthday today. And so I'm praying for healing, and they're all kind of reaching out to God. They're all, quote, ex-Catholics. And so I am praying for this healing to show that we Catholics, we get miracles.
Amen.
Okay, number two, the second son, construction's been down. He's been out of work, and he had a medical emergency. It cost him $27,000 in a bill, and he still doesn't. He's now working, but and I think God has a message for him on that situation, too. So I'm hoping for his enlightenment on that and ability to pay it. The number three son has a daughter that they're alienated from, and I'm hoping and praying for all of us who have family members that are alienated with each other. And finally, I have a big, big cup. There is somebody that's been coming into my home. They're compulsive, obsessive. And the Lord is telling me, treat the least. You know, I want to reach out to this person in a godly way. And so I need spiritual guidance on how to do this. And so I name that person Goldie, like Goldilocks, Goldie and Locker.
All right,
so
I love it.
That's my prayers.
Well, Teresa, thank you. You're a prayer warrior. You are a prayer warrior. I have no doubt about it. I know God hears your prayers. And let's pray. I want to pray for those who are facing, you know, financial trials and circumstances, especially those unforeseen ones, medical or mechanical or whatever it may be. Lord, I just taxes. I give you those situations. I give you, Lord, I ask for miracles. They do move the heart. I mean, they really do make very visible your presence in the lives of many. And I know we shouldn't look for them, but I ask you to hear Teresa's prayer there and all the intentions that she brought forward. There were many there, and I unite her prayers to those who now pray with me. We ask you to hear our prayers and in your mercy answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Bev. She's praying in Los Angeles. Hi, Bev.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Maggie. I have a couple prayer requests and two praise reports. The first prayer request is going to be, as always, for the incarcerated, that our Lord takes all their suffering and their wounds and that he applies them to whichever souls he desires. The next one is for two people at two different times that were killed as pedestrians this morning and about an hour ago.
Wow.
For the people who witnessed it as well. And for some reason, Drew, our Lord keeps bringing you to my mind this last week very heavy. So I just want to ask for prayers for you as well.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And praise report is there was last week a young girl was missing. She lost her cell phone was lost in the LAX. That was the last place they were able to trace her, Noli.
Wow.
She's been found, and the family asked for privacy, but I read that she was found. She's reached out to them. So we'll just pray for her. And the final praise report is I asked for prayers on Good Friday for my brother's conversion to the Catholic faith, and he actually went with us to Divine Mercy Sunday. So
did he go to confession too? To go confession and mass?
No. No, you know, Drew, we were brought up Jehovah's Witness, so has no baptism, no nothing.
Oh,
so God willing, he got me in the doors in 2007, so I'm sure he's going to get my brother.
Maria, first of all, thank you for your prayers for me. I often think sometimes the Holy Spirit does work. I'm sorry, Beth, I should say. Bev, B-E-V. Bev, you know, when you feel that inclination to pray for someone, really respond to it. I think the Holy Spirit works in very powerful ways, and I'm grateful for your prayers. I can't tell you how much I value them.
Thank you for all you do.
But yeah, I also love the fact that, you know, you're praying for conversion for your brother. He's coming home. I'm telling you, Divine Mercy Sunday, the floodgates of God's mercy are open. And that's a real answer to prayer. And Maggie, I know you've been praying for this. I've shared it with my wife, the woman who was lost at LAX. It's terrible. You know, the phone was found. She's gone. Another Divine Mercy answered prayer.
I know. Some people on Twitter as well sent us posts and said, isn't this the girl that we were praying for during the chaplet?
That was
her. Sending screenshots. Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for the heads up, Beth. Thanks for filling us in. And let's lift up all of your intentions. And we'll give God thanks for the way he's working in our lives. Lord, you know our needs. You know our wants. And you know how long we're going to be asked to carry our cross. I just ask for the grace to do that. And we also ask for those miracles, that they can manifest in bold and abundant ways for all who are now turning to you. And we thank you for this girl being released or returned to her family, I should say, and just for all the answered prayers that are coming in. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I also love Bev's intention for the incarcerated. It's such an important group of people who are often forgotten. And people don't tend to have a whole lot of mercy for them. So let's pray for all those who are doing time right now. And for those released, those who need second chances. Maggie, I know a lot of attentions are coming in. And you can send your post to Maggie at Drew Mariani Show. It's a great way to connect to her on our Twitter or X account. And, of course, on Facebook or YouTube, you can post those intentions as well. But what's coming in?
Yeah, actually, we got a prayer forwarded to us from our colleague Madeline. She said, we've prayed for Landon before. He was in remission for 3 months. But this came from Jane in California. She says, I need to pray for our great nephew, Landon, who has cancer and he's only 4 years old.
Oh, gosh, how tragic.
This is the second episode and it is recurring. For his parents, Gabriella and Joshua, for healing, and for his little sister, Addison. I can only imagine. Annalisa wrote to us and she said, prayers for my mom, Hilda, that her mammogram and sonogram will show no sign of cancer, that our greatest physician, our Father in heaven, with the help of angels on earth, removed everything, and that she's in complete remission. Jesus, I trust in you. And I loved this one from Dustin. He says, hi, Drew and Maggie, an entire Divine Mercy family. Please pray for me for a new job. I am being laid off. I also pray for world peace, an end to abortion, and for Maggie to have a very healthy, happy baby. Yay. And if you haven't chosen a name yet, and it's a boy, Dustin is a very good name.
I love it.
Thank you, Dustin.
Yeah, I love it. I love his prayer, too, for world peace.
Yeah.
I said this when we began the broadcast. When you see these global events unfold, immediately pray. Ask God for his mercy. I went to bed that night praying the chaplain for peace, because I often quote Faustina when she says the Lord told her the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. So let's pray that these events that we see unfolding in our own life, our own day and time, don't become bigger events. Anything else, Meg?
That's it.
Okay, good. I didn't want to cut you off. All right, let's pray then. We'll take Marie too. Marie is in Philadelphia. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Drew. I have three very special intentions. I have a granddaughter with a condition called EDS. It's a genetic syndrome, and she's only 26 years old. She gets terrific migraine headaches, and she gets joint pain, and it's not curable, not curable. And I have another daughter-in-law that's got platelet problems, very, very fluctuating. And then I am losing my eyesight. I have glaucoma and I have macular, and I've lost half my vision already.
I'm sorry.
So I'm lifting up those three intentions.
Well, Marie, be at peace. All right, let's pray for you, for those eyes, for the macular degeneration that you have, for the glaucoma. And you know, God can heal. I mean, I know some of these situations you brought forward with the genetic syndrome that your granddaughter's going through. I'm not going to limit God ever. I'm not going to put any constraint on him. God can heal, and he can restore. And that's what I want to ask right now. Lord, I ask you here, this grandmother whose heart is full of prayer and longing and love for both you and her family. And I just ask for all those united with me right now. Everyone has an intention and a cross, and Lord, they want your mercy. So please hear my humble prayer and be merciful to them. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jose is in San Gabriel, California. Hi, Jose.
How you doing, Drew?
All right.
I want to thank you guys for this wonderful program. Mm-hmm. I swear, I know it's touching so many people. I've had a lot of my family members jump on it, and they love it.
Oh, wow. Praise God. Thank you for saying that.
Yes. I want to pray for my older brother, Javier Reyes, that just was diagnosed with ALS. And the battle he's got ahead of him.
Yeah, it's tough.
I trust in God's mercy for him. And I also have a friend of mine named Adon who was trying to go into a house to rescue his mother, and he was burned up, and I heard had his arm amputated because of the fire.
Did his mom survive? Did he save his mother?
His family's kind of blocking us out right now, so we don't know the details on that, but we're praying for his mother, too.
All right, good.
And I want to pray for my son, Noah Reyes, and my daughter, Sarah Reyes. and the soul's in purgatory, and there's going to be a retreat coming up next weekend, and I want to pray for all those teens that, you know, we get them moving towards Christ and away from the stuff of this world.
Amen. Well, beautiful children's name. I love that. Noah and Sarah. Jose, let's pray for you right now, and thank you for your prayers, and we'll pray for all these that you presented, in particular your brother, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS. That's a tough disease, and Lord, the only remedy is you. So I give you every one of Jose's intentions, and again, we just unite together, all of us, wherever we are praying now, as one. You are loving and merciful, Father, and we come before you with our heart full of intentions and pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Laura is in Peru, Illinois. Interesting. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. Thank you for taking my call. I have three really brief petitions. The first one is the conversion of my children. I'm a single mom. Mm. My children are adults, but I do pray for them daily for very strong conversion. I also pray for economic solutions to a few problems. It seems like my whole life it's always been a yo-yo of economic blessing, but then economic scarcity. Mm. And then lastly, I pray for, I'm going to be going on the Walk to Mary May 4th.
Oh, good.
And I just ask for everybody to pray that I can finish it. But I also want to just let everyone know that I will take the intentions of this channel with me on the walk.
Laura, I hope to see you there. So say hello if you see me, okay? I tend to walk that every year. But I'll tell you what, if you're doing all 21 miles, you won't see me on all 21. that's a long walk. And for anyone who's listening, saying, well, I can't do 21. You could do 21, you could do 14, you could do 7, or you could do 2. They break it up. So I think I might do the first 7 and the last 7. And if I feel up to it, maybe I'll try 21. But Father Rocky will do all 21. You can check him out as well. But let's pray for you. And I know miracles happen for those who take those long walks. Maggie and Joe are going to be there as well. And Maggie, you're going to be 9 months and any day now, right?
I think, yeah, 8 months. And I've got a belly band that I'm going to probably wear, but it'll be our first anniversary. So we rented a nice little Airbnb.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It'll be great. So let's pray for you right now, Laura. Let's pray for conversion. Is a prayer I know God hears. I know it. If you're praying for your children's conversion, even if they're adults, and I know they're probably living lifestyles that maybe they shouldn't, keep praying. Those seeds of conversion are being watered by your prayers and by your sacrifice. I don't stop praying for those I love. I encourage you to do the same thing and just trust in God. It's, you know, I'm going to stand on the Lord's promise, right? So let's do that. We'll pray for those who most need God's mercy right now. And for all those intentions you brought forth, let me sneak another call in or two if I can. Debbie is in Chicago, Illinois. Debbie, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm calling for a young man of 18. I don't know his name. My neighbor told me about him. He had a motorcycle accident, and it was a very bad accident, so he needs a miracle. His aunt, her name is Elaine. She's the one that told me about him, and she also has eye problems. She can't see out of one of her eyes and is falling.
Wow.
And also Paul, my friend Paul, who I called about last month with cancer, he's having a scan this week and also a consultation after the treatment, which was brutal. So I'm hoping for a miracle for him. And
let's pray for it all. You know, those motorcycles, I know people love them. And proper context, I'm sure they're fine. I had an uncle who died in a motorcycle accident. So, you know, when my own sons want to get a cycle, it's like, whoa, you know, it gives me great pause. So let's pray for safety for anyone who is traveling or, you know, anyone on a cycle as well. I know a lot of people are concerned about him. I want to pray also for that, for anyone who's died in accident or tragedy in particular, Lord. I ask you to be merciful to them in those unexpected moments. You know, don't come as a just judge, but come as a merciful Savior. And Lord, I give you everyone who's on hold with me, everyone who is united with me in prayer for all the intentions that Debbie has brought forward and everyone who's now crying out to you. In your mercy, hear us as we pray, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, I don't know, the Archangel. All you angels and saints. You know what I'm thinking? I lost the name, St. Jose Sanchez del Rio. I was reading about him a little bit earlier, the young guy who had his feet cut off during the Cristero Wars. And right before he died, he took his foot, he made the sign of the cross with his bloody foot. And he had to walk for a mile, so it was a torture.
Oh, my goodness.
And he bent down, he kissed that cross, and then he was executed.
Oh, my.
So pray for us.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be right back. Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio Pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September, and tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
I think for many people, what we believe about the Eucharist is so remarkable. I mean, to say that this piece of bread, that this chalice filled with wine literally becomes God. It takes an enormous amount of faith to say that, because the Eucharist still tastes like bread and wine, still looks like bread and wine. I mean, if an atheist came in right before communion and saw us saying, "Yo, Lord, I'm not worthy," he'd say, "These people are crazy. They're talking to a piece of bread."
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Now that comes again from the Diocese of Madison. They produced a campaign called Dare to Believe to direct people to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I think of all these catechumens who entered the church on Easter. What an experience that had to be. I mean, confession could probably be a little daunting, but be able to receive Jesus truly present in the Eucharist. And I always look forward to it on Divine Mercy Sunday. It's like my first communion. You know, you go to confession, and on that day, the last Sunday of the octave of Easter, or the eighth day, I should say, of the octave of Easter, to be able to receive the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament like that, the graces that the Lord promised, it's absolutely amazing. I don't think we value, I don't think we fully comprehend the gift of what we have of our Lord in the Eucharist. And, you know, maybe one day I'll unpack for you a little bit what some of the great saints had to see. I mean, Faustina had these very unique encounters with the Lord, where she visibly had encounters with him, and so did many of the great saints. We've totally lost it. You know, we know the numbers. I often tell you about Gallup and Pew, and there's a real disconnect. I think if Catholics truly believed, truly understood the great gift of the Eucharist, man, our churches, you wouldn't be able to get in. It's like after 9/11, try to go to church, right? You had to park a block away. Now, you know, people rolling up 5 minutes late, and there's plenty of parking. But that's why our bishops have created a three-year campaign. And this campaign was to rekindle love for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And in July, we're literally talking, you know, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, just a couple months away now, we're having this incredible event. There's going to be a National Eucharistic Congress. It's going to be one of the largest gatherings we've had in decades. There'll be clergy. There'll be lay people. There are going to be masses celebrated in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There's going to be processions. There's going to be workshops and talks, and it's going to be off the charts. It's going to be a grace-filled event, and I really want to encourage you to come. I was just talking to some of my colleagues, Preston, a little bit earlier. Josh Raymond is in studio with me. He's the head of our programming department here and vice president of programming. And we were just talking on the break about how extraordinarily grace-filled this event's going to be and how unfortunate it's going to be for people who don't take advantage of the opportunity to go, because you're going to look back and say, ah, I wish I did. And Josh, I was sharing with you that back in 1994, I remember I had the opportunity to go to see John Paul II, and he was in Colorado. And I had just started a business, a production company, and I ended up sending a camera crew and a bunch of other people, and I didn't go. And I always regret it not being there. I had all the footage. I still do to this day. I have all that historic stuff. But for some reason, I forget what it was that kept me from going. But I could have went in retrospect. I said, I really wished I would have went to that event. I think people are going to feel the same way about this Eucharistic Congress, which is coming up.
I think you're exactly right. So I've never had that experience actually with anything regarding the church. I think almost any opportunity I've had, I've taken where I've wanted to go and then said, oh, should I not? No, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I did have that experience with a concert at the Oregon State Fair one time.
Oh, I love it.
I had the opportunity to go see Weird Al. It'd been a long day, and I loved Weird Al when I was younger.
That is hilarious.
And
you were such an interesting person.
So anyway, yeah, I was like, oh, I could stay. I could get in free to the show. No, I'm going to go home. And that's one of the only things I ever regret not doing, seeing Weird Al when he was, I mean, this would have been years ago back in, when he was doing like his Fat and
It's hilarious.
Eat It albums and all of that.
Well, it's the same type of thing, you know, and I'm sure I have other instances like that.
Oh,
where,
sure.
Like, oh, I'm just too tired. Or we'll go another time, and you miss the opportunity. You only have one chance to do this. Who knows? It might be 40 years before or 50 years before another Eucharist comes.
Right. Well, and I'm talking about a guy who does parody songs, right. You know, but yeah, the opportunity to be there with 60, 70, 80,000 Catholics all together and have that experience of worshiping our Lord. You were talking about, I was listening to that clip you played from the Diocese of Madison, and there was this comedian that I remember listening to, because the person at the end of the clip you played said, if an atheist walked in, they would see the bread and the wine that are no longer bread and wine. They are transubstantiated. But to an atheist, it would look like we're saying we worship these plain everyday substances. And I remember listening to a comedian making essentially the same case. You know, these Catholics are crazy. They worship a cookie, essentially. But when I came into the church, I'm a convert, and so when I came into the church, I had not gone back to the church I grew up in. It was a Baptist church. Hadn't gone back for a number of years. Ended up visiting my mom, went back to that church. I couldn't believe how profoundly it struck me, the emptiness in that place. With people who genuinely, sincerely love Jesus, people I know who are trying their very best to love and serve the Lord, but the you know, just all of a sudden, oh my gosh, this building is lacking the most important thing it could have, the real presence of Jesus himself. So, you know, we take for granted so easily the fact that we have access to Christ, and most of our communities have multiple Catholic churches, Catholic parishes where we can stop in. Some of our communities, you know, they have shrines, they have, you know, other places, religious communities maybe, where you can go and you can have access to praying in front of Christ in the Eucharist. But it's not something we should take lightly. All you have to do is talk with somebody who's lost a loved one, and they say, don't take for granted those things that are so precious.
How many years? Did you come in Easter Sunday?
Actually, I did not come in Easter Sunday.
So I
was going through RCIA, and I ended up, I got kind of nervous there, and I was like, going too fast. It's rushing too quickly here. And so I went and I spoke with the priest who was overseeing the RCIA group. Wonderful priest, Father Dawson, came from South Africa. And he said, nope, just take your time, Josh. Just pray, and God will guide you where he wants you. And so I did. I stepped back. Easter came and went. And later that summer, I ended up coming into the church. So coming up this June, actually, it'll be 20 years that I've been in the Catholic Church.
I have to credit you on that, Josh. So it's beautifully said. It shows your maturity in terms of really wanting to make the commitment. You thought it through and you came through. I know I want to talk a little bit about this conference, but before I do, what was your first Eucharist like when you received that? When you finally said, okay, I believe that this is truly Jesus.
What was it like? I think there was what most people would say. There was that genuine hunger, you know, once you realize I was, and it really was truly a gift. Once I was given that gift of faith, you know, it's one of those three theological virtues, and the other virtues, you know, we'll talk about how you can work on those in your own life, but faith, hope, or that charity, that love that's given from God. Those are gifts. We can't do anything on our own to work to grow in those. We can do things that help to foster the gifts we've been given. Right. But that once that gift of faith was given to me, that hunger, just couldn't come fast enough that, okay, oh, I still got to wait another 3 weeks, another 2 weeks, another 1 week until I could go in and be able to receive Christ in the Eucharist. I ended up I was working at a Christian radio station at the time, wasn't here at Relevant Radio, of course. And I had one of the gals who worked there, she came. I had invited a number of people. Hey, you're welcome to come. I'm going to be received into the church. I'll be confirmed coming up here this Sunday. She was in tears. She grew up Pentecostal. That's awesome. But yeah, she was in tears just saying how beautiful it was to see that. And I had people from my RCIA class that came up to me afterwards, said, we didn't even know you were going to be here, but now it feels like it's complete. Like, our classes, we all came through into the church now.
Well, I want to encourage anyone who's on the fence, you know, come to this Eucharistic Congress. Yeah, I was at a conference once where there was like 10,000 people, 5,000 people. It was such an awesome experience to be present with people worshiping together and receiving the Lord and hearing these passionate, powerful talks about our Lord. You're going to leave there so on fire for the Eucharist. It's going to deepen. You're going to want to go to adoration. You're going to receive Him wordily. You're going to want to bring others in and share what you have. So come. Bring your loved ones. Maybe you're already there, but bring somebody who's on the fence. I know there's limited rooms with our block, and I hope people can hang out with us, because I know if they go with the Relevant Radio block, if they don't, Preston and I were saying, I know it's a long drive. You got to drive it as far as an hour. Some of the hotels are all booked.
That's right. Most hotels, that if you don't travel with the Relevant Radio, you're probably going to have to drive into the stadium, into the convention center, probably at least 30 minutes, if not 60 minutes of a drive in. So yeah, Relevant Radio has still some rooms left. We started with several hundred. We're down to less than 90 that we have available now. And so this is kind of our last, just want to make sure you know, if you're listening right now and you've been thinking about going to the National Eucharistic Congress. Yeah, I really was thinking about it. It's on my to-do list. I just haven't gotten around to it. This is really kind of our last opportunity, because we're going to watch those rooms probably go pretty quickly here over the next week. We've partnered with Nativity Pilgrimages so that they can help customize a travel package just for you. It helps to put you in a hotel room right there in downtown Indianapolis. You're right across the road from the stadium. The hotel hotel that I believe we're all staying in. It has a sky bridge that just goes right over to the convention center. Very, very convenient, located right there in the heart of Indy.
You get to hang out with us, bump to, we'll be in the elevator having breakfast. It's going to be fun. Who knows? We might be in the same room.
I know.
Same floor, I should say. No, it'll be fun. So those who are with Relevant Radio, they're on ground then. So, I mean, we're pretty much, because we're
That's
doing
right.
our shows live from there. I know Relevant's going to have a special presentation, and please sign up for that when you register.
Yeah, that one, actually, even more than the hotel rooms, I don't know if we might be really close to capacity on that. That's one of the breakout sessions that they have, and it's Friday afternoon. You, Drew, Patrick Madrid, Father Rocky are going to be putting on a presentation there. And the last I heard, this was probably a month and a half ago, maybe even a little bit more. They already had around 2,000 people signed up. And so that's been a while. It might be really close. So if you have registered for the National Eucharistic Congress, but you haven't signed up for the different breakout sessions and you want to be in that one with Relevant Radio, make sure you do that immediately. Yeah. If you haven't signed up for the National Eucharistic Congress, travel with Relevant Radio. Even if you don't get the travel package, even if you have, let's say you've got family down in Indy, if you've got, a place that you can stay on your own, get your ticket through Relevant Radio. Because even with that, everybody who gets a ticket with Relevant Radio, you'll be able to meet our team. Father Rocky, he has a new book that's going to be coming out. It hasn't even been printed, but we're going to have copies. It's called The Treasures of the Eucharist. And we're going to be giving that to everyone who has a ticket that they get through Relevant Radio. So lots of reasons to get even just that ticket. But if you don't have your travel plan set, go to relevantradio.com or go on the Relevant Radio app. You'll see a banner right there on the front of the app or on our homepage where you can go in and you can fill out your information and get more on the travel options. You can also just learn more. There's a learn more button there too, where you can find out about the Congress, look at some of the different schedules of the day and what's going to be happening.
So relevantradio.com/Indy. I went there.
You can go there.
Today,
just because we wanted to make it as easy as possible. Even if you go to the homepage, you'll see it right there. Relevantradio.com.
Look, again, I'll throw it out again. I hope you can travel with us. Tickets are extremely limited. Our spaces are extremely limited right now. We're down to less than 90. And I know that was the number this morning. So, who knows how many are left.
Correct.
If you say, hey, this is something we should pull the trigger on. Talk to your spouse, your loved one, whoever it is, and come on out. This is probably be the last time you'll hear about this. So take advantage of those rooms while you can.
Absolutely. And again, don't put it off. I really hope you can make it out there and travel with Relevant Radio, be able to see Drew, see Patrick, see Father Rocky, the whole team. Everybody's going to be there. We really look forward to seeing you. I hope I get to meet so many of you that, for whatever reason, we've just never had the opportunity to have you at some Relevant Radio event. And what a better place to meet than where everything is focused on Christ, really, truly, substantially present in the Eucharist.
I love it. It's Josh Raymond. Josh, thanks. Thanks for sharing your story.
Always good to be with you, Drew.
It's great to be with you. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, you'll hear from a priest where Eucharistic miracles have actually taken place. Wait till you hear the story. He's coming right up, and our conversation continues right after this.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
You can't be a half saint, be a whole saint, or nothing at all. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, we're all called to sanctity, right? We're all called to become saints. That's my mission in life. I hope it's yours too. I'm sure it is. I want to introduce you to a future saint, one who will probably be raised to the altars. Her name was Audrey Marie Santo. I've spoken about her in the past. You might know her as Little Audrey. And she hails from her own country. She's from Worcester, Massachusetts. And it was there. And I'm going to bring on the air for you in just a second here. Some of you could not only tell you the story, but it was at this place that not only have statues wept and cried and healings have taken place, but there were even reports of Eucharistic miracles. And Father Peter Joyce joins me today. He's he's currently the pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption in Milford, Mass. But he was appointed by Pope Francis as a missionary of mercy during the Jubilee of Mercy in 2016. And the following year, Bishop McManus named him the diocesan liaison for the cause for the beatification and canonization of Little Audrey. And hers is an amazing story. Rather than me tell you, I want to welcome Father. Father, we have a few minutes on this side of the clock before we take a break. For those who don't know, she is a powerhouse. I mean, God used her in an unbelievable way while she was alive. And I know that, like St. Faustina and St. Therese and so many others, she's going to be interceding in an even more powerful way now that she's in perfect union with God. Fill us in on Little Audrey and her story, if you could.
Sure. Audrey was born. She was the fourth daughter of Linda Santo. She was born in December of 1983. And before her fourth birthday, there was an incident where she wound up face down in a pool in the backyard. Nobody really understands how that happened. The pool was above ground. You needed to climb a ladder to get there. The ladder had never been moved. Audrey had not been out of sight for only a matter of barely a minute when her family realized that she was missing and went searching for her. They were busy getting ready. One of her older brothers was going away for the week. They were busy doing laundry, getting things ready, and she was outside playing with her younger brother. He came in. Audrey was outside with the dog, and then the dog was in, and nobody knew where Audrey was. They found her in the pool. They called the ambulance right away. Her oldest brother jumped into the pool and pulled her out in a matter of seconds. They brought her to the hospital and then transferred her across our city to a teaching hospital where, unfortunately, somebody made the mistake and gave her an adult dose of phenobarbital.
Oh, no.
At less than 4 years in a tiny body, it actually really destroyed the part of her brain that controlled the fine motor skills of her body. Many people thought or presumed that she was a vegetable as a result of that. She was not. She lost the fine motor control of her extremities. So she couldn't be able to hold a spoon or a fork. She couldn't pull a zipper or fasten a button. But while she was in the hospital, as a result of that, they put her into an induced coma. Somebody came in and performed physical therapy, dislocated her two hips, and broke one of her leg bones. Nobody has ever claimed responsibility for that, but they all healed incorrectly. As a result of that, Audrey was never allowed to, she was never able to sit up again because she couldn't bend at the waist. She was there for close to 100 days. When the family got ready to have her released, they were talking, the hospital personnel were talking about places to put her in as an institution, and her family was stunned. They had always presumed they would take her home. And so, in fact, her mother's words were, "I'm not putting her anywhere but in my arms. She's my baby, and I'm taking her home." And they said, "Well, you can't do that. She'll die within 2 weeks." And they said, "Well, we'll wait and see." So they took her home, and they surrounded her with a loving family, made her bedroom right off the kitchen of the new home. They didn't go back to the home where the accident had happened, surrounded her with love and with care and with nursing assistance around the clock. And Audrey lived another 20 years.
Wow.
And when she made her first communion, the family friend, who was our retired bishop at the time, gave permission for the family to reserve the Eucharist in Audrey's bedroom because, again, if she couldn't bend at the waist by law, she had to be transported to church in a car seat, which she couldn't get into. So he said, now that she's made her first communion, she'll need to receive, when you watch Mass on TV, which he knew they were doing, he said, give her a piece of the host. It's the only thing she took, the only nourishment she ever took by mouth.
Wow.
Everything else passed through a tube to her body from the time of her accident on. And so as a result of that, from her first communion till the moment that she passed, in 2007, yesterday, April 14th, Audrey lived in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, round the clock. So she had a privilege that a lot of other saints, even popes, priests, bishops, nuns, don't have that ability to be in the undivided attention of the Blessed Sacrament. She shared her bedroom with our Lord for 20 years. And as a result of that, incredible things surrounded her. And many of them, as you mentioned, involved the Eucharist as well. Extraordinary things that even today we can't really explain. We don't necessarily understand, but because of Audrey's life, we know that it was her love for the Lord and that these were signs of his favor, of her devotion to him. Even though she didn't speak, her actions spoke, and the Lord spoke in return of the great love that he had for her. So lots of people came over the course of her life looking to bring prayers and petitions and needs that were either spoken to or read to Audrey in letters, and the power of her prayer became certainly well known, not only here in our community of Worcester, but well beyond. Because of the extraordinary things, some people, even religious people, don't believe that. They become suspicious of it. But Audrey's life and even beyond her death truly speak of God's love for her.
Well, her cause is underway. I want to talk with you a little bit more because I do want to get people plugged in. You need a powerful intercessor. You're looking for a miracle in your life. Why not turn to little Audrey? I'll share with you what a friend of mine, one of the world's most renowned theologians, had to say about her when he met her. And I'll share with you some of the incredible things that unfolded in her presence, including Eucharistic miracles.